Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And today, we're going to get friendly with our bodies and get in touch in a way that I'm fascinated by because it's an opportunity to have help. Help is on the way. We can all get back in touch. And to do that, I have an author on the phone who's the author of Full Body Presence. And that's Suzanne Scurlock-Durana. Hi, Suzanne. Hi. Whoop. She was there.
I am here.
Okay. Hi.
I am here.
Good. Well, are you present?
I am present as well. Yes.
Well, I'm really enjoying your book. And not only that, there are audios that go with the book. And so it's, in a sense, it's a package deal.
Mm-hmm.
The audios are free to download. And it's so helpful because you're somebody who has a great history of body work. And not only of doing body work, but of teaching body work.
Mm-hmm.
Of some of the most advanced work that's being offered. In sensitivity and awareness, and you actually teach people, not only your clients, but you teach students who even become teachers themselves, I'm sure, on how to become much more sensitive to the nuances of your body.
Absolutely.
And so I want to thank you for writing a book about it and for making this available for everybody to use as a regular tool, because it's hard to do it for ourselves.
Yeah, you know. it's as though they somewhere back there, somebody forgot to teach us about how to operate the manual. Well, we weren't given the manual of how to operate the navigational system of the body. In fact, we were actually taught to ignore a lot of the signals that we all get growing up as kids.
Well, it's all mind-oriented.
And I would really like to see the mind and the body be equal partners, because the mind is also just an incredible part of who we are as human beings, but it shouldn't be the captain of the ship. It should be a partnership. And that's really my prayer with this book, and I see it as a how-to manual, because many, many people have written in the last decade about, well, really the last three decades, but it's really speeded up in the last decade, the why we need to be in the present moment, why we need to really work on our presence, our energetic presence, why the invisible world of energy flow through our bodies is important to us. People get it now in a way that they didn't a decade ago, but no one was really giving the how-to of it.
Well, we're always being told over the years, listen to your body.
Right.
And what does that mean? How do you listen to your body?
How would I know if it's my body talking?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
And maybe a sharp pain can do that, but maybe that's a little too late.
Right. Right. And the truth is that when we listen, and we really know how to listen, when we become acute listeners on our own systems, there are wonderful signals happening all the time that are extremely helpful to our creativity, to getting us out of really crappy situations, to the inner health of our being, mind, body, and spirit. So physical health can be helped by learning to listen to these signals. Your emotional health can be helped immensely by that. And our spiritual growth can be fed by using the skills and the talent, the steps, the tools that I talk about in Full Body Presence. And you're right, you mentioned the audios at the very beginning, because I think most of us need help in getting in the territory.
Yes.
Because we've been led so far away. So the audio is really, it's the, if you can allow me to be the guide that gets you in the territory and then says, oh, and what does this look like? And what does that look like in your being? Because it's not a guided meditation. where I would be telling you what to find in your body. It's more like I invite you to bring your curiosity along and leave your judgmental, critical mind out of the room and begin to explore what's happening inside of you, which would be unique to you, by the way. Everyone's insides give them different signals, and I have been completely fascinated by this for years, that one person in doing exploration two, where you do a grounding and filling, one person will want to bring a beautiful sense of warm lava flow into their left leg, and their right leg wants something cool and green. And then they get to their spine, and they have a river moving through them, and they get to their heart, and there's a deep, old sense of being loved that shows up when they ask themselves what they need in order to feel nurtured. So there's just such a quality of each person being such a unique individual inside that all I do in those explorations is get people in the territory and ask them to ask their own body, what's here? What's here? And what do I need? Because the body knows.
And yet the listener feels very guided.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice because I don't have to work on it other than open up.
That's right. It's an effortless process. Yes.
Because if you're not open, you're not going to know about that lava.
That's right. You have to be willing to open to it and to set a boundary that only what's nourishing and nurturing is going to come in. But once you set that filter, then you can relax and be open and let that nourishing sensation kind of flow in. Yeah.
Now this book is a great book about understanding our process.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the tapes are wonderful in assisting the process.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, how do we solve life's problems? Because so much of it is our resistance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have so many mind games going on each day.
Mm-hmm.
About what might not work or what feels bad and have opinions about it.
Yeah. And beliefs.
Right.
I have to hold myself in this particular way, boundaried and pulled in and tight, because if I don't, something bad will happen. Yeah.
See, what's nice is that you bring it back to the body.
Yeah.
You know, we have life, and our bodies are moving around in it,
mm-hmm.
and our bodies suffer from the dysfunctions of our mind.
It's true.
And so this is a helpful book to recognize what we do and also what we don't do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're reminding, you know, this is a good book to help us understand how we get in our own way.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring presence to that. I mean, that's also presence.
Yeah.
is to identify the games that we're playing with our brains and see how we self-sabotage.
Well, and the other piece of that, what you're just bringing up, Peter, which is excellent, is that until I recognize the game that I am doing that's self-sabotaging, I cannot make a new choice because I don't even know what's going on. I'm just blindly following an old, it's almost like the default font that you have on your computer. You know, every time you open a document, that font is going to show up. It's like we've got these old programs running, and they're usually from old traumatic events that have happened at some point, or it can be from traumatic events that didn't even happen to us. It could be something that happened in our parents or our grandparents, but the fear gets handed down.
Well, we interpret life around those histories.
Yes. And when those, I like to call them default stances, I actually blogged about that at one point, the default stances that we're walking around with really define our reality. And recognizing them, then you're on your way to being able to make a new choice. But the first thing you've got to do is to recognize that that default stance is just that. It is not necessarily real in this moment. It's not necessarily anything you need to continue to operate from. But it is something that you are operating from. And in that recognition, in that moment, you can make a different choice.
This is the kind of book that you keep on your desk. Even if you just want to look at the title occasionally and it says Full Body Presence, and you go, okay.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted. Oh, yeah.
And then to open it, and I would say that you could open it almost anywhere and trust that it's going to show you something you need to know.
Oh, thank you. That's wonderful. You don't know how long it took me to write this because I'm very much an oral tradition person. You know, you put me in a room, I talk with people, I see what the need is, and I can just run with it. But the actual process of refining this and bringing it down to, you know, something that's about less than 200 pages of really meaty information. I'm so glad to hear that you have found it to be that way.
Sure.
Yeah.
That
I was successful.
It's life-giving because we are always caught up in our denials of our openness and our and the opportunity of anything. You know, it's because you have diagrams in here of what happens in our energy field when we project into the past and project into the future.
Right.
And those aren't nice.
Yeah.
Because we're projecting our opinions.
Yeah.
That might be self-defeating.
Right.
So
but, yeah.
So then it's about, you know, opening up to opportunity in ways that allow the free flow. So the free flow is actually represented in your body.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think of, if you want to think of that flow of life, I think of the body as the skin, you know, our skin is it's kind of like the banks of a river. And this, the flow of life force is like a river coming through us. And it runs between the earth and the heavens. It runs in circles around us. If you've seen any of the heart math work that's been done about the toruses of energy that they're able to measure around the body, we are, in a sense, like the banks of a river. And so when life is in this free flow through us, it's an ecstatic experience. And that's our birthright as human beings. And yet very few of us have these ecstatic experiences, and even those of us that do have it from time to time, it isn't a major part of our life, and that's sad. Do you know? I mean, we should be creating a culture that allows us to have more and more of that happiness, of that joy, of being a human being and being alive, and that's really my prayer is to bring people back to that. That basic birthright we all have,
and children have that of flowing in their bodies.
Yeah, if they don't have too much of a difficult gestation or delivery, you know, if they have a healthy delivery and they're healthy babies, you do see that absolutely, absolutely. And in fact, as a craniosacral therapist, that's actually how I tell when a baby is healthy and when they're not. By the way, I do know all the things that I read as a craniosacral therapist about cartilage and bones moving and things like that. But the other thing I look at is I look in the eyes of the infant. And if there's a cloudiness, if there's a fogginess, if there's a sense of that child's life's energy not being fully in their body yet, if the body is really struggling either by no movement or by excessive movement, that says to me, this natural process that this little being should have started with didn't happen. Well, we need to help the container of their body to be more open so that this little one can more fully embody initially.
And as a professional therapist that way, you actually can restore that.
Yes. That's the good news. With craniosacral therapy, we do have a capacity to restore that, or in the case of a child that's got severe disabilities, to at least improve the quality of that child's life pretty significantly.
Such an early age, that's big, because the longer they go without it, the more
right.
that they're programmed
that's
to be
right.
without it.
That's right. And I would say, someone called me and did an interview. She was doing a book on something about 50 spiritual leaders, interviews with 50 spiritual leaders. So I was very honored that she considered me to be one of those people. But she said, if I could give you $100,000 tomorrow, or some amount of money, I forget what it was, but it was a significant amount of money, what would you do with it? And I said, you know, I would set up early intervention programs in all delivery rooms. Well, first of all, I would start with the mothers before the babies are born, and I would talk about the natural birthing process, and I would really get an educational piece in place for women. And then we would make sure that every newborn infant gets a good craniosacral treatment, because they've just come through one of their first initiations, in a sense, is coming down that birth canal or being popped out via a C-section. And that quality of getting them the care that they need at that early, early stage just shifts the entire process from that point forward and makes it a whole lot easier, because we're holding the central nervous system and really optimizing it with craniosacral work. So whatever needs to happen is much easier thereafter. Yeah.
That's so great. And see, your book can do that too.
Oh. Well, it is a self-care book in that vein. That's right. That's right.
And so it's the opportunity of using tools of access to our that river inside of ourselves.
Yeah.
And just talking about it is beautiful, to realize that everything inside of us is flowing.
Mm.
And yet there are ways that we've obstructed the flow,
mm-hmm,
in many areas,
mm-hmm,
that we can release, and we can't always release them ourselves. That's why it's nice to have craniosacral people out there and other practitioners who do subtle energy work that has profound results.
Yeah.
And I know you've been teaching craniosacral. You've been working with the founder of it.
Yeah, Dr. Upledger has definitely been one of my major mentors this lifetime. Yeah.
And that's amazing. There are a lot of people in the world offering healing that don't have as many tools to work with.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to know who's got the tools out there.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's, not to veer off the book, but I do want to give him a plug, because I feel like he has given us, there are three major pieces that he's really given us. Number one, he has brought together many, many different healthcare professionals all in one room. You know, he didn't just say, oh, only the osteopaths can do this, or only the physicians, or only the physical therapists, he really opened up this healing process that he does, and he does it in a very integrous way to any healthcare people, and even, not for professional reasons, but for the care of people and families, people who have family members that are really in a lot of pain and, can be taught certain skills that would help the pain level of that family member. That's the first thing he did. The second thing he did was he really pioneered the process of doing multiple hands-on work. And that is such a powerful tool, to have a lead therapist and to have two or three or four other therapists at that table. The amount of healing work that can happen at a treatment table in a multiple hands-on session is remarkable and delightful and wonderful. And he really pioneered that process, and starting back when he was working with graduate students in at Michigan State with the autistic kids that he was working with. And then the third thing that he's given us is the capacity to dialogue in an integrous way, not an imaginary way, but with a way that really, where it's anchored into the body and what the body is telling us, dialogue with the person and the parts of that person that are in need of help. So we can dialogue with the immune system. We can dialogue with the cells in a particular part of the body. We can dialogue with the cellular structures. We can dialogue with the person's heart. We can dialogue with... So there are many, many levels that I have deep gratitude to him for.
And that brings me back to your book.
Yes.
Because your book creates that.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I would say that in all my years of teaching craniosacral, what I realized was I wanted to give people something that they could use so they could get more out of their craniosacral sessions. How could I help someone to be able to drop inside themselves and start to be able to have their own inner dialogue about what's going on without imagining? I mean, certainly imagination is a wonderful thing, but to really have what you're feeling be anchored in the body. And not necessarily in mental processes, but really what's happening in the body.
And also to move through it.
Yes.
And so you're offering not only the opportunity to be focused on the body, but also to understand what your options are to move through it.
Yeah. And how can you do that in a way that is loving? That is, you know, if you have a part of yourself that you are locked out of because you've got chronic pain, or because you're caught in an emotional, you know, limiting way, how can you begin to truly hold that place in a way that will be healing? I have a quote from the book I'd love to read to you. It's probably my favorite quote. Can I read it?
Sure.
Okay. It's on page 80. It says, "The energy that truly allows the alchemy of deep transformation to occur is love. Love in the sense of agape, the ancient, all-encompassing, unconditional love of God, Goddess, Christ, Buddha, Yahweh, Great Spirit, or any other name given to the compassionate source of life. Agape brings us into a deep connection with the universe. Again, allow yourself to deeply feel this love in your body, not simply to imagine or visualize it, although it may have visual components. The energy of love ignites the alchemy of true healing, transforming tight, painful, wounded places into connected, healed components of who we are. And when this alchemy is complete, out of our deepest wounds can come our greatest gifts."
There's such a healing power to express self-love.
Yeah, yeah.
And it allows our body to recognize it and focus on that. So this is beautiful. And so, see, and what you were just reading, it's when I was listening to your recordings and going through the process, you really use wonderful insights and illustrations and words that make it easy to do it.
Thank you.
And, you know, so that's why, you know, this book is an opportunity for so many people to have a tool to stay present and to be, you know, to have something available each day that they, any day that they feel stuck, any day that they feel that they could nurture themselves better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's wonderful to have a nurturing tool, but reading the book is important because you're also helping the mind do a better job.
Yeah, well, we are partly in our minds. I mean, that's who we are. We are who we are physically here in a body. We are how we think about things. We are the spirit that is in our bodies. And the mind needs help too.
And you also have a lot of illustrations on how we do dysfunction, and so people can identify with those and can say, "Oh yeah, that's me," and know that you're taking care of that too.
yes. So that all parts of us are included, and nothing is really being excluded. That's right.
Yes, yeah. And so, you know, it's. It's a fullness, and that's the fullness that we're trying to create, is that, you know, to get everything flowing so that it is all one versus the part that's stuck where the physical pain is or the grouchiness comes from.
Yes.
And to release it. And although sometimes it feels good to be grouchy, but maybe you got to move through it, right?
Exactly. You have to recognize that it's there, and why it's there, and then you can move through it.
Right.
You know, it's like saying, my principle number three about integrating all the parts of yourself, you know, being a very important thing. You know, we have to be able to recognize when we're grouchy, when we're angry, when we're whatever it is that we're feeling, why? Where is that feeling coming from? And what is it indicative of? You know, what does it mean to me that right now I'm looking at this situation and I'm hating it? You know, there's a reason. why that's happening. And if I can recognize what it is, I can make a change in my world. I can actually make a change in my life.
Or just to know that it's an opinion that's ungrounded.
Yeah.
That we don't have a reason to have that opinion other than we've always had a history of having opinions like that.
Yeah.
And they don't pay off.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly.
So it's nice to be reminded to get off of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and to look, you're exactly right. If I'm looking at what is the result of this envy or this hate that I'm holding, well, sure, I can keep doing that, but it's life draining. I mean, it's not about, you know, oftentimes when people say, I often hear people in really spiritual circles talk about forgiveness, and you have to forgive people.
Right.
Because it's the good thing to do. Well, I think we have to forgive people because it is absolutely draining to walk around holding resentment at someone else because they are unforgiven for something they've done. It's draining to me,
sure.
The person that needs to do the forgiveness.
Well, let's forgive ourselves by reading Full Body Presence. And Suzanne Scurlock-Durana, this has been a wonderful time talking with you.
Ah, thank you.
And how can people reach you?
They can go to www.fullbodypresence.com, and we have lots of, we have some free downloads, we have interviews, we have articles, and there's lots of support, different things, courses and classes. I'm teaching at Kripalu in Massachusetts next week, and we have classes all over the world in this particular work. So, yeah, let your listeners know that there's a lot out there.
So thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. And Suzanne, it's a great book. Congratulations.
Thank you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org. And thank you so much for listening.